May be seated. There's, again, certain type messages that you can minister that are happening all over this country on any given Sunday, Wednesday, whatever time they have service. And the three types of services or messages, you should say, are first one is, which is the most preached, is about meeting people's needs, getting your needs met. And the number that I've heard is like 75% of the messages are having your needs met. Another 20% is about being successful, being a success, walking in victory. And the least amount of messages that are preached is probably about 5% are the messages about living a life of significance. And that's a much more challenging message to deliver and a more challenging message to hear. And as we have started this series last week on little things from Matthew 25, this is a message about significance. And so it's a little tougher of a message to sometimes listen to because it can be challenging talking about your character and who you are. And it may not be as exciting as being a success, although this leads to that. And this also leads to having your needs met. I would put in this series also the message by Jim Caseman several weeks back on a Sunday morning. I would put it in this series as, you know, the start. That was a really good message, talking about little things, about your character, about your heart. So we started last week about little things from Matthew 25. Again, that's the parable of the talents. Remember that? The master left town and he had entrusted to three servants, the first servant, 5 talents, second servant, 2 talents, third servant, 1 talent. And when the master came back, they gave an account of what happened while he was gone. So the one with 5 told the master, you know, I had 5, now I've got another 5, I've got 10. And the master was pleased and said, well done, and ended up giving him double. Or he ended up having double, but he said, enter into the joy of the Lord, or enter into the blessing, enter into partnership with me. And he said, you'd be faithful over little, you'd be made ruler over much. So this person was given more responsibility, more authority. Second one was 2 talents, same thing, had 2. The Lord said the same thing to him. But then there was the one with 1 talent, and he hid his talent. Didn't do anything with it, hid it, and the master was not pleased about it, and this seems really cruel, but took the talent from him and gave it to the one that had 10, now he had 11. And there is just a whole lot of things here, but I was interested in the whole thing about, in this message about having 5 and then having 10, about doubling. And the Lord has been saying to us, about doubling this year, and about multiplying and adding. And so there are some things here for us, I think, that God has. Last week we talked about faithfulness. And he said faithful in little. That's where the little things came from. Faithful in little, and I'll make you ruler of much. So last week we talked about faithfulness. We'll not cover very much on that, but basically faithfulness is doing the right thing when no one is watching. It is being reliable, trustworthy, dedicated. Faithfulness is staying committed during the tough times. Easy to be faithful when everything's going right. But faithfulness is being committed during the tough times. And if you're a faithful person, you're someone that can be counted on. No matter what's going on, you know you can count on that person. And whether it's crisis, whether things are going well, whatever the season, whatever else is happening in the world, you can count on this person. They'll be there. Now, the second little thing that I want to discuss today is obedience. Everybody say obedience. Do we like that word? Is that a good word? Obedience. The servants needed to obey the master. Now, this is much easier said than done. The servant that was disobedient faced consequences. The servant that was obedient reaped rewards. So the gist of this message here is, obey is good, disobey is bad. All right, so I'll say the first word and you say, I'll say obey and you say good. I'm doing a little brainwashing here. I'll say obey, you say good. I'll say disobey, you say bad. Can we do that? Obey.
Good.
Disobey.
Bad.
Disobey.
Bad.
Obey.
Good.
Okay, you got it. Let's wrap it up. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19 in the Message translation says this, if you willingly obey, you'll feast like kings. But if you're willful and stubborn, you'll die like dogs. How do dogs die? Maybe I'll illustrate that. That's right. God says so. So there it is. Obedience, the word means compliance with someone's wishes or orders. It is acknowledging their authority. So obedience is very simple. There's three parts to obedience. Obey.
Good.
Disobey.
Bad.
Good. Three parts to obedience. First part is being under authority. In order to be obedient, you have to be under authority. You have to acknowledge authority. Number two, this is a little more difficult, listen to what the superior says. You have to listen. And number three, carry out the orders that have been given. This is simple, isn't it? Why? Why is it so complicated? Because we have people involved and people aren't perfect and we have an enemy out there that's trying to get us off track. But there's just three parts. Being under authority, listening to what the superior says, carrying out the orders that have been given. Now let's just go through each of those three. The first one, being under authority. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 8, I believe it is, when about the centurion, the Bible says that Jesus marveled at him. Marveled at the centurion. Do you remember what he said? The centurion said, I am a man under authority. He called Jesus his Lord or his master. Even though he was in the Roman army and following Caesar, and Caesar was his, you know, superior. But he recognized Jesus' authority. So he was a man under authority in the natural, but he was also a man under authority in the spiritual. And what we're going to see in a few moments is they go hand in hand. Spiritual authority and natural authority. But if you're going to prosper in God's system, you're going to have to place yourself under authority. And being under authority is not an outward position. It's not just a position or a job title. Being under authority has to do with your heart. It has to do with something that we can't see. We can see the fruit of it. We can see your actions. But it has to do with your heart. It's an attitude of the heart. It's an act of the will. Being obedient is a decision that you have to make. And again, it's not always an easy decision. There are certain things and areas for all of us that I think that are easier to be obedient in. Other areas are difficult. Being under authority is not always exciting, and carrying out an order is not always like, you know, yippee, woohoo. Let me give you an example of that. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. The Father gave an order to Jesus. And let's read about that. And let's read about Jesus' attitude and about his heart and his will. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." One translation says, "Let this attitude be in you." "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross." Now let me ask you, do you think Jesus was excited about going to the cross? Do you think that's just something that he was just giddy about and just really excited about? You know, like, you know, how we're maybe we're going on a fishing trip or going to play some sport that we love, or maybe, going to get your nails done. I don't know, whatever it is that you can get excited about. Do you think he was just like excited about that? Jesus going, was he excited about going to the cross? Now you can kind of see that how he felt about it in the garden. And at one point he said to the Father, can this cup, this burden, this job that you've given, can it pass by me? And he looks around, but there's no one else to give it to. And then he says that classic line, "Not my will be done, but your will be done." See, Jesus in his heart, it wasn't all just lip service. In his heart, he was under God's authority. And his job was to please the Father, to please his master, no matter what the cost. And this particular job that he is, this particular assignment, you know, just saving humanity, saving mankind, I mean, it cost him his life. Cost him his blood. But he is our example. And we see from his obedience there was great reward. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "Therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on the earth, and of those under the earth." You might as well go ahead and make Jesus the Lord of your life now. You're going to have to eventually. It's going to be much better for you if you just do it now. "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, of God the Father." From great obedience comes great reward. Little obedience comes little reward. No obedience comes no reward. Jesus submitted to the will of the Father. Now, of course, we are to submit to our Heavenly Father, but we're also to submit to our earthly leaders. Now we're getting to the fun part. Before, now it was all kind of spiritual. And it's about, you know, serving God and doing God's will and being obedient to Him. All right, well, let's kind of change things a little bit. It also involves being obedient to those earthly leaders that we've been given. Hebrews 13, verse 17. You might want to mark this one in your Bible. "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive Is that a word we like? Yes. Submission. Submit, submission. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Now let me ask you this question. Those earthly leaders that you have, and this may be for our young people here today, talking about your parents. Are you someone that brings grief, or do you bring joy? Do you bring grief, or do you bring joy? And there is a correlation between your obedience to God and your obedience to men. You can't say you're obedient to God and you're not obedient to your parents, and you're not obedient to your leaders, and you're not obedient to those in authority. They go together. You can't have one without the other. And in fact, you know, growing up as kids, that's one of the primary things we're to learn as kids, is to be obedient. And as parents, that's one of the most primary things that we're to teach our kids. To be obedient. To have respect for authority. To be able to be under authority. To be able to take orders and commands. Teach them to listen. And then teach them to carry out the order. So this is important today. This is important. And you know, how many here want to prosper? Now, I tell you, not very many hands were raised. That's interesting. That's interesting. You know, we say we want to prosper. We say we want to increase, but God's got a way of doing things. He's got a system. And, you know, it's just wisdom to try to find out His system and not do it our way in the way we think it should work. He's got a way. He's got a system that He's set up. And part of it has to do with obedience. Last week was faithfulness. This week, obedience. When you're in submission to somebody, sub means under. So you're under someone else's mission. That's difficult, being under someone else's mission. I want my own mission. I want my own job. But if you want to be a great leader, you have to be a great follower. Can't be a great leader without being a great follower. Luke 16:12 says, "If you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?" If you're not faithful in the little things, faithful where you're at, faithful at home, faithful on the job, faithful in church, why should you be qualified for something greater? Well, I'll be that way when I'm given the responsibility. No, it starts now. It's not going to all of a sudden, you know, it's not magic. All of a sudden you just snap your finger one day and it's there. No, it's a series of little things that we do, little decisions that we make. And it may even start, you know, earlier when we're younger, you know, as far as taking out the trash, cutting the grass, cleaning our rooms. And those obedience and those things lead, and the responsibility grows. So if you'll submit yourself to another person, the authority, the power, the grace, and the blessing that's vested to them will flow to you. Let me say that one more time. If you submit yourself to another person, I'm talking about your heart now. Again, not just being in a position. But if you will submit yourself to another person, The authority, power, grace, and blessing that is vested to them will flow to you. Now, I'm not talking about just following someone, following an evil person. I'm not talking about training our kids to be so blind to authority that they end up being molested. I'm not talking about the whole, being down with Jim Jones. Remember the whole Jim Jones things years ago and the whole, mass suicide. You know, that's, I'm not saying that to go against God's word and to do something in your heart that you know is wrong and evil. So we have to teach more, right and wrong along with this. It's not just blind obedience. But obedience is important, and it's important to be under authority. Let me ask you this question. What authority are you under today? Are you someone that causes grief, or are you a blessing? Are you a help, or are you a hindrance? Do you want to be promoted? Do you want more responsibility? Maybe you don't. People are funny. They don't always want more responsibility. Do you want more of God's blessings manifested in your life? All right, let's talk about the next part. Listen to what your superior is saying. Pay attention to what they are saying and asking you to do. If you don't know what you've been asked to do, ask questions. This is simple, but ask questions. Don't walk away confused. Don't be confused. What do you want me to do? Simple question. But for whatever reason, people have a hard time listening. I don't know what it, I don't know if it's just so much going on in their mind. The scripture calls someone that has a hard time listening, God calls them dull. I like to, I have a chainsaw, but I like to chop wood, take out my frustrations. But I like to get the axe out there and chop and, pretend I'm doing something, rugged. But it's interesting, when my axe is dull, boy, it takes a long time to chop. But if I'll just take a few minutes and just sharpen that thing, sharpen that axe, I can get out there and half the time have that thing cut down. When it's sharp. But when it's dull, it just doesn't work effectively. And I don't know, what is it that makes somebody dull? I don't know. Sometimes it seems like there's so much confusion. That's why I like being in God. God's a God of peace. People have so much stuff in their minds, so many things going on, so many things pulling them, so many different voices. They just have a hard time listening. But if you're wanting to succeed in God, you're going to have to listen. Listen in your prayer time. Listen during the day. Listen when you come to church. Be able to pay attention. You've never seen the kid in the classroom and you put him in the chair and just for a minute, he just can't pay attention. What do we call that? ADD? Do we got spiritual ADD? Just even the simplest things, paying attention, keeping your mind just for a moment. Have a 30-minute message. Just for 30 minutes, keeping your mind focused on what's being said and to listen. Do you remember what the Spirit of God was talking to the churches in Revelation? What did he say? He who has an ear. Now, do you have an ear? Everybody grab their ear and shake it. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Mark chapter 4. This is a really complicated message today. I hope it's not too deep for you. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given." Underline that. To you who hear, more will be given. If you're a person that will listen, if you will be a person that will hear, more will be given to you. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, meaning you don't listen, don't pay attention, even what you have will be taken away from you. Now, we've been given two ears and one mouth, and I think there's a reason for that. I think we ought to listen twice as much as we speak. But sometimes we just want to hear ourselves talk. But listening is important. Last part, carry out the order that's been given. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Under authority, listen, pay attention, and then carry out the order. Matthew 7, verse 24 says, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a man who has built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew." I don't think I have it on PowerPoint. "And beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." One translation says about talking about the guy that heard but did not do, says this, "And those of you hearing the sound of my words." See, some people just hear a sound. Now, don't raise your hand, but do any of our young people, do you ever just hear the sound of your parents' words? I hear the sound, but I don't really hear what it is you're saying. Especially when they're about to ask you something to do. "Well, I don't remember hearing that." Are you someone that just hears sounds, or do you hear words? And then do you take those words to heart? Now, I read this. I've got to wrap it up here. We're going to do, at the end of the service today, an offering for those going on the missions trip to Jamaica. So we want to give time for that. But I was recently reading this about an interview with General Charles Duke. And General Duke was an astronaut. And he was a part of the Apollo 16 mission. And he was one of the missions where they had the moon rover. Remember that? The Moonmobile. And was, you know, doing different tests and driving around. You know, we saw the pictures driving on the moon. I mean, that seemed like a lot of fun. But one of the interviewers asked a question and asked the general this. He said, "Once you were there, were you free to carry out some of your own experiments? Could you kind of like do your own thing, you know, do as you please? Could you like, if you liked a certain area, could you kind of stay there longer, you know? Kind of hang out different parts of the moon that you went to?" And the astronaut smiled and he said, "Well, sure, I could do that if I didn't want to return to the Earth." And he began to talk about an intricate plan that NASA had for not only the launching, but getting that ship to the moon and getting him back safely. He said when they landed on the moon, they landed heavy. They used just a little bit too much fuel. And the reporter asked him, "Well, what did that mean?" He said, We had 1 minute of fuel extra to get back. 60 seconds of extra fuel. And he said that was fine because, you know, that's all we needed. And so I don't think that I don't think that you could make it as an astronaut if you're a rebel. I don't think that if you kind of do your own thing. See, they had everything laid out piece by piece, second by second, minute by minute, and you had to follow the plan. And if you didn't follow the plan, you're not making it back. And so whoever represents the United States in our space program must have unconditional respect for authority. And well, that's fine for NASA. But you get over, you know, to what we do. What does it matter? How important is it? Well, it's important to me what we're talking about here. Last week about faithfulness, this week about obedience. It's important to me because I want double. I want addition, I want multiplication, I want fruit that remains, I want to grow, I want to be able to handle more responsibility. I want to have greater influence for the kingdom of God. So everything we're talking about today is important to me. Let me ask you a couple questions and we'll close it. Have I done what I was asked to do? First of all, I'm assuming you're under authority. I'm assuming every person here is under authority. Have I done what I was asked to do? Have I followed the instructions given? Have I done the job over and above? And last question is, have I done the job in a timely manner? Talking about your heart today. Talking about attitude. He that's faithful over little will be made ruler over much. And, you know, a prayer that I pray, you know, almost daily, rarely a day goes by, is the whole thing about not my will be done, but your will be done. And if I think about anything that has saved me over the years, and I have made a whole slew of mistakes, has been coming back to that. And coming back to it is, God, what do you want me to do? I mean, you're looking at a guy that's from Minnesota, and got saved when I was 19. And I think about all of the things that have happened over the years, all the little acts of obedience, all the different things that have led me to where I'm at today. And so I'm not going to change that. Suddenly now is not the time to get comfortable. Suddenly now is not the time to say, well, I think I'll just do my own thing. No, it's a time to pray that prayer from your heart and say, not my will. Your will be done. And yeah, we're going to be asked some things that we may not like, want, or be excited about to do. But sometimes you just have to bite the bullet and say, okay, God, if whatever He's leading me to do, I'll be obedient, because if I know I'm obedient, there's going to be a reward. God never takes from you. He only adds. And the plans that He has for you, plans for good, plans for a hope in the future, plans for increase, He's got something exciting for every one of us, but it's going to start with the little things. I know you want the big things. I want the big things, but it's going to start with the little things. Little things in how you handle your money. The little things as far as talking about people behind their back. Little things about what you do when the boss is away. Little things you do when the wife's away. Little things you do when the husband's away. Little things you do when the parents are away. And what I found out to be a truth is little things lead to big things. That's it. Wrap it up there. Father in heaven, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you, Lord, that you care about us and you're helping us today. And just go ahead and pray that from your heart. If you haven't prayed it in a while, go ahead and just say that to the Lord. Say, not my will. Your will be done. Father, we want your plan, your ways. Thank you, Lord, for our natural authority. Thank you for our parents. Thank you for our boss. Even thank you for our pastors. And thank you for those that you have placed in authority over us, that they're watching over us, caring for us. And thank you, Lord, that you help us. And thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit in this hour to be able to really hear and listen and then to obey, to carry out the command. Empower us. Help us to do that, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for blessings and rewards for faithfulness and obedience. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Nate, do we have a video? Is it okay to show that? We want a video that we want to show you about our missions trip, and then I'll get up and say some things.
On July 9th through the 15th, 2007, Overflow Youth Ministry, in partnership with David Horton Ministries, will be going to Negril, Jamaica to preach the gospel. We'll conduct a vacation Bible school, visit orphanages, evangelize on the street, and share the gospel in an open-air ministry crusade. Our mission is to preach the good news of Christ wherever we go and to the whole world. This is the ultimate doing the stuff adventure, as we'll be sharing the gospel, laying hands on the sick, and praying with people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we expect God to confirm His word with signs, wonders, and miracles following. On past trips through David Horton Ministries, missionaries have done a lot of street ministry, performed many miracles, ministered in elementary and high schools, preaching the gospel with signs following, held nightly meetings at a home for runaway teenage boys, and have seen many get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. The language of government and education in Jamaica is English, so it will be easier for everyone to do ministry there. We're preparing for the trip through fundraising, ministry training, and group prayer times. Each person is raising $1,200 to go on this mission, and those who aren't going can support the team through prayer, giving in special offerings, giving to an individual, hiring one of the team members to do some work, and or supporting the fundraisers. We're asking you to partner with us to go into all the world and preach the good news.
Switch over to this. Can I have all the folks that are going on this trip to Jamaica to come forward, please? We don't need to get there. If we know anybody back in the some of the ushers, can you help and maybe go to the kids club? I think Molly Anna is back in the nursery. And praise God. Look at these happy people here. So we have, I think, about 22 people signed up, and already they've turned in 260 of the $1,200. And we're going to have at least two offerings. This is going to be the first one. We're going to receive an offering today for them. And so when you give, it's going to be divided evenly between everybody here. But let me just ask a few folks here. Suzanne. Have you been on a missions trip before?
No.
Now, why do you want to go on this one?
Because I'm being obedient to God.
You're being obedient to God.
No disobedience. That's not good.
Corey, have you been on a missions trip before?
No, I haven't. No.
What makes you want to go on this one?
I've prayed about it, and yes, this is the thing I need to do.
What are you expecting to happen when you go?
Lives changed.
Praise God. Lives changed. Amen. Nate, what do you think about this missions trip? Tell us about your heart. And
Well, we have a tremendous group going. I think everybody here is excited about what's going to happen. We've looked at missions trips before and decided we didn't want to go do a missions trip where we're going to do a building project and the whole humanitarian effort, although that's well and good. We have more to give than that. And we want to see signs, wonders, and miracles and do the works that Jesus did and change lives. And so as you're sowing and giving in to these folks today, your money is going directly to Jamaica, and you're going to have a huge impact, and you're partnering with us to go. So if you can't go yourself, send someone else, and you'll be making a difference as well. Amen.
Well, let's go ahead and pray for them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for just preparation for this trip, preparation spiritually, all the things in the natural, all the details that need to be taken care of, Father. I thank you for wisdom and favor for them. Just open doors that each one is prepared for this trip like none other, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just thank you for provision. We call in all the resources necessary, Father, in the name of Jesus. Going over $1,200. Money for other trips, or maybe money that we want to sow into Jamaica. So we thank you for it over and above that you provide for each one here. And we give you the praise and glory. And we thank you for a life-changing trip to Jamaica. That country never the same. The people of Good News Church never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Yeah.
I just wanted to share something. I was talking with Cherie Horton, David's wife, this week about, she was excited. She got the applications of the folks that came into her office, and she was excited to see some of my kids were going. And so I was talking with her, and I was saying, Cherie, I don't know what y'all have done in the past, but I'm going to tell you, this is going to be by far the best missions trip you've ever taken. And I said, I'm not just saying that because it's us. I'm saying it because I know the quality of the people who are going on this trip and how equipped they are. And I got to thinking about, we're not just sending a bunch of kids that we're sending them down there because they don't have anything else better to do, or because we're trying to get them straightened out and we hope they'll go down there and something, you know, rub off on them. We're sending able ministers. And so I just got to listen to her all the things that had happened through the people, you know, of our church that are going, these people, and what all the resources we're sending down there. I don't mean financial resources. I mean people resources that we're sending down there, because these people are actually going to be the ones standing up preaching the gospel in the open air crusades. And these are the people who are going to be working the miracles and laying hands on the people. And I got to thinking, you know, I told her, I said, you know, we're sending a 12-year-old girl in Jessica Netzler that prayed with a woman in Walmart that she'd never seen, never met, to be saved just because she decided to walk up to her and be obedient. You know, I'm thinking about Ebony. Ebony prayed with a girl at school who couldn't hear out of an ear, and her ear popped open. And so these are the young ones among us. And that doesn't include, you know, Super Nate and and all the other ones. You know, those are the youngest ones that we're sending. And so I was just so excited. I have to tell y'all, I am thrilled about this bunch of people that are going. Because these people, I mean, we used to dream. You remember this, Eddie? We used to dream that we could take a group of people to another country and make an impact. And it seemed like so far away and such a dream, and we think, how could we ever do that? And I'm thinking, these are people that are going, and I have confidence in these people. And because I know they've been prepared, because I've seen what they've done here, and it's easier to do it there. They're a lot more open there, and they want to see you because you're an American, and they want to go, you know, Rico, except they don't say that there. But anyway, and they're thrilled that you're there, and so they're open. And to think that Harry and Jessica and Wesley are going to be able to lead, I don't mean like one or two. They're going to have a little encounter in an alley. I mean, they're going to have, I believe there's going to be thousands of people impacted, thousands of people that are going to go to heaven because these people showed up. And the area they're going to is relatively unevangelized. It's not the area that people go into on missions trips. This is kind of a hard area. In fact, somebody in our church has been in that area, and they were talking about it's kind of a rough area, and there's like under, you know, like, what do you call it, mafia type people, and it's kind of the place where if you really want to get down and dirty, you would go in Jamaica. And so there's kind of some raw stuff going on there. And we're sending them out in to take the gospel. Talk about spiritual warfare. They're taking the gospel, which is how you do spiritual warfare, into a dark place. How much brighter is the light when you're in a dark place? And so they're going to go and let their light shine and not just be sweet and kind, but they're going to do the stuff. So I'm really excited because this is a dream coming true for us as pastors, that we're sending really equipped people down to do the stuff. Praise God.
Praise God. You may be seated or go back to your wherever area you were. So what I want to do is receive an offering. I think I've been on like six different trips, and every time it's just been Ephesians 3:20. And you may be here, you're not able to go. Well, there again, when we're a part of this, there's three things we can do. We can pray, we can send, we can go. And you may not be able to go this time, but sow a seed maybe for a trip in the future. But this is something that we're all going to be a part of and have rewards from. This church is going to have rewards of what happens in Jamaica. And so if you would like to give today, or maybe you're not able to give today, but you want to in the future, and you can give, just mark on there Jamaica, and they'll get it to that particular account. But if you, and again, but now when we sow, we're sowing to all the folks that are going, and we'll evenly distribute this offering to all those that are going. And we'll probably have another offering, maybe in several months, and we'll let you know about that. But let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for provision for each one. And I know we've got other folks in this church going on other trips to other parts of the world. And we thank you for provision for them as well, Father. There'll be no lack for anybody going to the mission field this year. Thank you for provision. And thank you, for Lord, we're led by your Spirit in our giving. And as we give, you receive this offering, take it and multiply it back to those that are given so they can be even more generous in the future and be a greater blessing. So we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. You make, if you're doing a check.